let's talk a little bit about what the martial arts has done for all of us and what it can do for all of us. If you read the book, The Truth About the Martial Arts Business, the first section is called The Core Dynamics. And the core dynamics of the martial arts professional is an overview and insight into the core motivations, fears, and mindsets that as martial artists we have. Now, this is not the mindset of the average martial artist. Definitely not. This is the mindset and programming of the career martial artists, those of us who, when we joined the martial arts school, it was like a moth to light. It was like a fish to water. It was just immediately we knew we had found something that somehow connected with us on a deeper level than virtually anything else had. I know my very first night, February 12, 1974, as a white belt in karate class, I knew at that moment I was going to do that for the rest of my life. My instructors became my mentors. They became my heroes. They became a huge influence in my life. And when you're in that stage, particularly as I was 13 years old, you're in a very influential time. In the core dynamics, I talk about how many of us following that similar path have extremely similar patterns of experience. For instance, in my case, I was raised in a household that had tremendous tension all the time. There was a lot of yelling. My parents didn't teach. They screamed. There was no coping mechanisms. There was no teaching. It was from quiet house to screaming house to throwing things to hitting. So there was always this tension. My father used to say you could cut the tension in the house with a knife. So as a kid, when you're in that situation, you feel powerless. You feel intimidated, and you spend a lot of time in a state of fear. So the martial arts presented me with an opportunity to gain some control of my life, because the first thing that happens in the martial arts school is you're introduced to this idea of respect. And how do you get respect in martial arts school? By following the rules, attending class, practicing, and advancing through rank. And amazingly enough, the higher you go in rank, the more respect you get. So even though the classes often in those days were more brutal than anything that ever happened in my house, we put up with it. Why did we put up with it? Because we knew that if we put up with it and we followed the rules and we bowed when we're supposed to bow and we said yes, sir, when we're supposed to say yes, sir, and did what needed to be done, that we would advance in rank and we would advance in respect. And with respect comes a certain sense of control in your life. So by the time I was 18 and a black belt, I completely redefined myself. And that's one of the beauties of martial arts, is that it really provides you with a wonderful way to redefine yourself. I went from the chubby, shy kid into this black belt superhero kind of guy. So during the day, I had a day job as a busboy, you know, grade and go clear off table number 6. And at night, I was this martial arts guy, this black belt guy. A parent would come up to me and say, Mr. Graydon, would you talk to my son Joey? He's not doing too good in school, and, well, he looks up to you so much. Which do you think appealed to me, busboy or black belt? And I imagine, like you, being the black belt, being that guy, having that control, having that sense of respect was very satisfying. And what happens is that when you're like me, and in a sense like Kathy was to me, you become a golden child within the school. In other words, you become one of the top students, if not the top student in the school, because you have complete buy-in. I was a martial arts fanatic. That's all I talked about. That's all I thought about. That's all I did. However, when I started training, it was at a time when the traditional martial arts were being brought into question. 1974 is when the first PKA World Championships aired on ABC. That's when Joe Louis, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, and Isaiah Duenas won the initial World Championships. It was the highest-rated show on that particular ABC entertainment program, and it was a big hit. So here was this initial battle. The traditionalists looked at full-contact karate, which is what it's called that day, in those days, as the end of pure martial arts. It was the beginning of the end. The kickboxers, the full-contact karate guys, thought that they were the future. They were going to be the stars. And what's interesting is that they were both wrong. Professional karate, full-contact karate, was certainly not the end of traditional karate. And PKA had a period of time when it was popular on ESPN, but once they failed to renew the contract, it quickly went off the radar and into oblivion. So what's important about this? Well, there's an interesting lesson there. During that period of time, Kata was first challenged. Wearing a uniform was first challenged. Wearing safety gear was first challenged. You understand that safety gear debuted in 1973 at the Top Ten Nationals, so it was brand new. So everything about the traditional martial arts training came into question. And here I was, a young teenager, getting my initial programming from my instructors about what the martial arts are supposed to be at a time when there's a lot of questions. So my programming became quite simply, question everything, question everything. And I've always done that, and that's where some of my controversies come from, because I do raise questions. So let's fast forward a little bit, shall we, to the 1986. In 1986, martial arts were primarily an adult activity. My school was almost probably 80% adults. I remember going to my first EFC seminar in Atlanta. I didn't know anything about running a business, really. I was just getting rolling. I had 245 students, mostly adults. So I get up there, and this is right after the Karate Kid broke. And suddenly all these kids were invading the schools. Well, they weren't invading my school, so I was completely oblivious to the Karate Kid boom. I get up, those guys say, oh, you've got 245 adults. Wow, that's really good. But you're missing the big market. It's the kids. So now, you know, start your student creed and you know, start acting more like a Boy Scout leader, basically, is the way I interpreted. And I made the mistake of doing that. I went back and started the student creed, and that was the beginning of, I don't want to say the end of my martial arts teaching, but it just was no longer congruent. It was no longer what I enjoyed doing. I did not enjoy teaching children. I didn't care what the market was. So within a year or two, the student population had flipped. I got suckered in to turning my school into a kid's school, and thank goodness for Kathy Mahler, because without her, I'd have been in serious trouble. She's a great teacher of children. I'm a very mediocre teacher of children. But the point is that by 1990 or so, I was not enjoying my school anymore. I was not enjoying dealing with parents second-guessing what I'm doing. I was not enjoying not being able to spar the way that I like to spar, do the things that I like to do, and I was getting away from my original vision. And I mention this because right now, the martial arts field, martial arts industry, martial arts profession, whatever you want to call it, is starting to experience a similar paradigm shift. But I'm going to come back to that in just a second. If we go to 1988, Olympic Taekwondo brought some attention to Taekwondo, but not much and not for long. And the beginning of the end for what I call the style-based system, the style-based school, started in 1993 when the UFC debuted. And obviously the clear goal of the UFC was to pit style versus style. So this is very important. If you, like many others, or maybe people not listening on this, but let's go to the general market. Let's say, how many millions of guys 18 to 25 right in there were watching the UFC in the early days and became fans and watched this program and rented the DVDs and the videos, and they follow these various fighters and they watch style versus style and style versus style and style versus style? Well, if they were in their early to mid-20s, in 1993, they're in their mid to late 30s now, possibly with children that are interested in getting involved in martial arts, or they want to get them involved in martial arts. However, this is a pretty educated consumer here. This is someone who spent the last 15 years watching style versus style, watching the style essentially disappear, in a sense. Because right now, if you watch The Ultimate Fighter on television, they rarely refer to any style. You refer to it as either having good stand-up or good ground game. The exception will be a mention of jiu-jitsu. So the style issue is almost gone from that program. So here's my point. That 20-year-old who's now in his mid to late 30s, raising a family, he wants to get involved in martial arts, or he wants to get his kids involved in martial arts. Odds are he's not going to be attracted to a school that calls itself a karate school, a kung fu school, a Hapkido school, an Aikido school. He's going to look for a martial arts school. He's going to look for possibly a mixed martial arts school. The danger with mixed martial arts, of course, is that the image is this so brutal. It's not something that any when I watch The Ultimate Fighter, the reality series, I often don't watch the fights because to me that's the most boring part. And a lot of times it's really gory. It's bloody. And as a father, I have a 7-year-old. I don't want him really exposed to that. But I want him to know the techniques. I want him to be trained in mixed martial arts. I want him to be able to handle the ground and on his feet. So I have a little bit of experience doing this stuff. I would never enroll him into a karate school. I would never enroll him into a kung fu school. To me, especially, since The Karate Kid in 1986, the standard of martial arts has continued to drop. Schools have become more like motivational daycare centers rather than schools that produce good black belts. And there's been this continual hiding behind the life skills and almost in an embarrassed way saying that we're much more than just punching and kicking. It's almost like, it's just like the punching and kicking is something that we're apologetic for. So this is the feedback we're getting from school owners. And here's what it really boils down to. School owners are having a similar experience that I had back when my school flipped over to a kid's school. Right now they're feeling as though the market has passed them by. They're feeling as though they're doing things that they didn't sign on to do when they opened their school. They're getting far away from their vision. They're having to resort to after-school programs and things of that nature in order to pay the bills. They're not teaching the martial arts that they originally hoped to teach. Now, in some cases, you have schools that are dedicated to perpetuating a specific style. And let me be the first one to offer them a deep bow of respect and gratitude, because I absolutely do not want to see traditional martial arts fall by the wayside. Here's the thing. Nobody cares what I want. Nobody cares what that traditional teacher wants. The market wants what it wants. So that's a key point. So we want those guys, and I want to support them all I can because I want the traditional arts to perpetuate, but I have no fantasy that these arts are going to be as supported as they have in the past. Remember, the Karate Kid and full contact karate and Olympic Taekwondo were somewhat style-specific. Karate became part of the lexicon of anybody searching for a school. Those days are kind of gone now. Now it's not so much about a specific style, it's about martial arts. And if we still have this idea that our style is better, then we're living in a voluntary state of ignorance. Right now, I think if anything has proven anything, there's no such thing as a superior style. The only style that really matters is the teaching style of the instructor, and I've said that for decades. I've always emphasized this idea that the only style that matters is the teaching style of the instructor. So our job, our mission, is to become better teachers. There's a lot of ways to do that, and I'm working on a number of different technologies in order to accomplish this. But right now, I want to kind of stay focused on this concept of mixed martial arts. When this is a great time, at the end of this year, we're getting ready to start into the new year, we're talking to a lot of guys. Our phones are ringing about ProStar. ProStar Mixed Martial Arts has been a monster hit. One of our guys, you may see the video on the website, he's a traditional Taekwondo school. He wanted a fresh start. He was frustrated with teaching forms to kids. Remember, kata was never meant to be taught to little children. It's difficult. It's an exercise in frustration. He wanted a fresh start, and he saw ProStar as the perfect opportunity because ProStar is a white-to-black belt curriculum. It's a mixed martial arts curriculum. It's really designed as mixed martial arts for the masses. It's designed for the family. It's not designed to climb into a cage and become the next UFC champion. It's designed to provide you with the techniques, strategies, and lesson plans to offer a mixed martial arts program in your community. So he promoted ProStar Martial Arts for 2 to 3 weeks. He enrolled 69 new students, 48 of which came from outside of his school. That's remarkable. That's a fantastic result, and we're seeing that all over the country. And oddly enough, ProStar is right now celebrating its first anniversary. Some guys are actually taking their students into MMA tournaments, into grappling tournaments, and they're winning. So the program is solid, and here's how it works. You might want to go visit ProStarPreview.com. And there may be a link. Yeah, there's a link right there on the teleseminar. It says Preview ProStar Curriculum. And this will help you understand how the ProStar system works. The beauty of ProStar, quite simply, is this. The lesson plans are broken down and demonstrated to you segment by segment, class by class, day by day, week by week. So you, it's pro-starpreview.com, or just hit that link. So this, you can see at the top of the testimonial from our guy, but let's take a look here at the what we'd like to look at here. We'll just start at the top here. Let's go through the ProStar Mixed Martial Arts Basic Sampler. And these, if you can imagine that it's the first week of the term. Each term is 2 months long. There's six terms per year. It's a rotating curriculum. You go onto the ProStar website for the instructors. It's term one, week one, class one. So you go to that specific class. Then you'll see under there warm-ups. We'll demonstrate to you, as you can see right here, the specific warm-ups for that class. Techniques to teach and review. We'll demonstrate to you specifically the techniques to teach and review. Drills will demonstrate specifically the drills that you're going to do in that class, and then the cool down and game at the end of the class. So every single class has the curriculum completely laid out for you. So it's almost teaching by the numbers. And what it does for school owners is, one, really make the process of teaching a lot easier. See, one of the areas of frustration for school owners is that they're spending so much time with after-school programs and all the other things that are non-martial arts specific that they've lost that quality of life that they were seeking. I started teaching martial arts specifically for quality of life. I wanted not to have an alarm to get up in the morning. I wanted to teach the way I wanted to teach. I wanted to grow the school. I wanted to help people through the martial arts like it helped me. So when the kids, for me, when the school became a kid's school, I started getting away from that vision. And right now, a lot of school owners are telling me they feel like they're getting away from their original vision. So let's talk for just a moment about what that vision might be. We deliver our benefits, our services, through our curriculum, through our teaching, the teaching of our curriculum. Some guys and gals are teaching a traditional system only because that's all they know. Some are doing it because that's what they want to do. They just want to teach Goju. They just want to teach Shotokan. That's just fine. That's your decision. But if you're a traditional school that would like to expand into and offer some mixed martial arts program, ProStar is designed for you. ProStar is not designed for mixed martial arts schools. ProStar is designed for a traditional school that wants to quickly get to the front end of this big paradigm shift that we're all experiencing right now. So when I evaluate, the genesis for ProStar actually goes back to the days when Kathy was with me and running USA Karate in the 1980s and 1990s. We would every year review our curriculum. We'd sit down and work on the curriculum. And what we found ourselves doing is continually eliminating kata or cutting katas in half. And we're eliminating kata and eliminating kata until eventually we started replacing kata with combinations. And we start putting combinations together into kind of a fighting form. And it worked beautifully. It worked not just for student enthusiasm, but the students got a lot better faster. And class was a lot easier to teach. And that's the whole idea behind ProStar, is we want to make the process of running your school as easy as possible, to take as little amount of time as possible and get the highest results possible. I think the martial arts is the only field that I've ever seen where people brag about being slower at doing something. I can't imagine. Imagine a convention of college deans, right? You know, so the bunch of guys, okay, from Yale and Harvard and all these various colleges, and they're saying, "Yeah, we've got a 4-year degree. It takes 6 years to do it." Oh yeah, it takes 7 years to get a 4-year degree at our school. That's crazy. And martial arts that way, we ought to be trying to get to black belt, high-quality black belts, faster and not slower. Time is not the issue. It's the curriculum, all about the curriculum. So when we do our curriculum reviews, here's what it came down to for me through the years. It became less about the style and more about the end benefits. In other words, what do I mean by that? I had no allegiance to Taekwondo, even though I was raised in Taekwondo. I had no allegiance to kickboxing, even though obviously I've got a kickboxing background. My allegiance was to my students. I wanted them to have specific benefits. This is what I call the core lessons of your curriculum. So for me, and this may not be for you, but for me, I wanted my students to learn respect. So my school was based upon ideals of respect and courtesy. Tenacity, I wanted to instill in my students a never-quit attitude. Technical execution to honor the arts. I worked very hard to make sure our execution was as clean as possible. A sloppy sidekick to me is like a sloppy Mona Lisa painting. But you honor the arts by practicing correct lines, good pivots, good form, good posture. And that's, to this day, very important to me. Self-defense, I wanted my guys to be able to defend themselves. As somebody once said, I want them to be able to write the check if they ever have to. I didn't want them to spend all their time doing imaginary fights with katas and things and then not be able to defend themselves. I know when I was a student, every story about one of our students getting into a street fight was the other guy went to the hospital. And it may sound kind of mean, but I took pride in that because our guys knew how to defend themselves. They were bad cats. And I wanted to make sure my students had that same experience. I wanted them to be in good shape. The basic rule, especially if you guys are running schools out there right now, here's the rule that was taught to me by Joe Lewis, and I always use it as my standard. At any time, you ought to be able to go 3 full contact rounds with whoever walks through your door. Doesn't mean you've got to win the match, but you've got to be able to protect yourself, defend yourself, and be on your feet when it's over as a standard of conditioning. Now, I always like that. And finally, resilient optimism, which is that kind of ties into the never quit attitude. Instead of like, continue doing the right thing, making the right decisions, making good decisions throughout my life, that good things are going to happen to me, in a sense, kind of good karma. So as I go through those core lessons, you never heard a reference to a specific technique or style. So it didn't matter what style I used to accomplish these. So this is, again, going back to ProStar. The idea behind ProStar is to take the tenets and ideals of traditional martial arts, respect, courtesy, tenacity, resilient optimism, and bring them into the mixed martial arts arena. Because as much as people right now are saying, well, mixed martial arts shows that there are no styles and that, you know, this is the kind of fighting that really works, okay, I'll agree with that. And that's where it stops because to me, yeah, that's what mixed martial arts can teach traditional martial arts. Okay, that's good. The flip side is this. Traditional martial arts can teach mixed martial arts a lot more. And that's why I want ProStar to be the mixed martial arts for the masses, because I want us bowing into class. I want us in smart uniforms, good martial arts uniforms that look nice and are durable. I want us that sense of respect in the school like the traditional martial arts. So what is traditional martial arts? I'll tell you exactly what traditional martial arts is. It's how you were raised in the arts. That becomes your tradition. And going back to that concept that when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, my martial arts instructors instilled in me the first rounds of shoulds in the martial arts. And what is a should? It should take 3 to 5 years to make a black belt. You should not open a school within 5 miles of somebody else. You should not open up against your instructor. You should blade your foot if so everybody has their own sets of shoulds that their instructors instilled in them. And a lot of times they're in direct conflict with other martial arts. That's what I call the whole idea behind the control factor, is that we're raised and kind of programmed with these thoughts, ideas, rules about running the martial arts school or doing the martial arts that sometimes run into direct conflict with other systems. That's why you don't see organizations cooperating very well, because people are all in a kind of a control mentality, and when their sense of control is challenged, they get very upset and they get uncomfortable with that. So looking at this page, if you're at ProStar Preview and we punched on the basic samplers, you can see some examples of how we're teaching the various techniques. And it's stand up and ground game. Jerry Jones is our grappling director. He has a mixed martial arts school in New Jersey that has approximately 300 students. It's a family school. The kids in there, six-year-olds, that are grappling away like crazy. It's amazing to watch. And it has that wonderful sense of tradition, respect, courtesy that you'd find in the strictest Shotokan school, but it's a mixed martial arts school. And these guys win everything from the little Mighty Mites all the way up to UFC caliber fighters. So that's a great example, and we're happy to have him along board with us. The third one, the third list, if you go back to ProStarPreview.com, third down on the list is the ProStar Mixed Martial Arts Rotating Curriculum. I'm going to invite you to take a look at that, and then maybe after this program so you can listen in on it, because that's the key. What I have marked there are semesters or actually terms, but as you can see, there are six semesters or six terms throughout the year, and everybody in each term is doing the same material. So each term has its own required kick, required combinations, and required drills. So each term, the entire program, everybody in that term is doing the same thing. So you're not having to run around teaching five or six different groups in one class. Everyone is doing the same material each class. Again, how can we make running your school as easy as possible? And in fact, this almost eliminates the need for a lot of assistant instructors and big staff. It also eliminates the need for stripe testing. Stripe testing is not part of the ProStar curriculum because you don't need it. Students advance every 2 months to the next term. So you might start at gold, then you advance to high gold, orange, green, high green, and then that would complete the year. So everybody advances. So instead of charging testing fees, you have a graduation fee, and you do every term you have a graduation. But why do we suggest that you do that? Well, let's think about this thing we call a test. How often do you really fail people on these tests? Are they really tests? In my sense, that usually about halfway through a term, you're going to have a pretty good sense of who needs a little extra work and who you're going to recommend to take some private lessons or get some extra practice in, or who you're going to work like a stray sheep to get them back in the herd, rather than let them go through this thing we call a test and then possibly fail them. Most of us won't fail them because we're afraid to lose the student. So we use the idea of the graduation as a way of keeping the students moving forward. And again, because the students are not working on as many techniques, they get better faster. So if I have 30 techniques to learn for a belt, you know, I've got 6 1 steps, I've got 6 basic blocks, I've got 3 stances, I've got 2 forms, I've got 4 kicks. That's not unusual. What I just described to you right there, that's not unusual for an early white or orange or gold belt student to have to memorize in a short period of time. And none of that had to do with sparring or hitting targets or anything on the realistic side. It was very traditional. Well, when you've got that much material to work on in a period of time, you have less time to spend on each technique. Most children in particular will practice only what they feel they're good at, what they enjoy doing, rather than practicing what they really need to practice, which is the material that's more difficult. With ProStar, the material is not difficult. It's remarkably easy, and there's not as much to do. So they spend more time on each of these techniques, hence their hands are better faster. Their kicks are better faster. Their conditioning is better faster. Everything happens in an accelerated process. ProStar technically is a 3-year program, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to see black belt level martial artists coming out of this program after a year and a half, 2 years. So we're excited about that process. If we're going to go back here to my notes real quick to see if there's something else I wanted. Yeah, let's talk just a little bit more. And I'm not on the – Kathy, are you out there? Are we taking questions during this, or are we going to take questions at the end?
Usually we do the questions at the end.
Okay.
But we can do it either way. We already have some coming in.
Okay, good. Yeah. What, is he crazy? No. All right. So here, in summation about ProStar, and then I'm going to talk about a couple other things real fast. ProStar is a fresh start. Every quarter we have a 2-day seminar, usually here in Florida. We just finished one this past weekend. The seminars are included in the ProStar tuition. They're free of charge. And we spend half the time on business and half the time working on the curriculum. Specifically, we spend a lot of time working on teaching skills and selling skills. And here's one of the key things. Our seminars are not lecture-based seminars. They're experiential. So we're going to teach you something, then you're going to role-play it with your partner. In some cases, we're going to take you out into the community to actually apply what you've learned in class with the general public. So we're doing our very best to, as quickly as possible, improve the selling, marketing, and teaching skills of the ProStar schools. Because, again, the curriculum is remarkably simple. The value is in the lesson plans that I described to you earlier, where every night you can go in, double-click, and take a look at what's to be taught that night. If you have multiple locations, ProStar is perfect for creating curriculum consistency. What we found is that a number of schools have used ProStar as a initially as a like a black belt club program or an add-on program that they could charge for, and then in time they find that it's so easy to teach and the students like it so much more than the traditional arts that it's becoming their primary program, which is very exciting. So ProStar is something that is on the absolute leading edge of the current paradigm shift that's going on within the arts. It blends the traditional respect and courtesy and honor of the traditional martial arts with the mixed martial arts, which is clearly missing from the sport aspect of it, and creates a safe mixed martial arts program that you can offer your community, which will put you right on the front edge. So we're excited particularly about the results we'll be getting now that we've been doing this for a year. The other thing that I want to chat about real quickly is, I think that's going to be it. That's about 40 minutes. So let's take some questions.
Okay. Well, how about if we start with the web first? We have several different questions. The first one was from EJ in Raleigh, and he's asking, do you have any pointers in regards to teaching the falling and the grappling portion of a mixed martial arts, you know, with safety at the forefront?
What is CC? Safety at the forefront? Actually, we just,
yes,
something we worked on this weekend. Jerry Jones has actually what I consider to be remarkably good methods of teaching falling, and there's no break fall involved. That's what it was really eye-opening to me. He's got these techniques for falling that's on the ProStar website that do not involve break falling. They're actually safer. They're a lot more fun to do, and I immediately, since Monday, I got my kids, my 4-year-old, my 7-year-old, we went out to the dojo and said, okay, let's work on falling. So, yeah, absolutely. Some of this material is going to be on the Mata website. Every week we put up a new drill. A lot of times they're ProStar drills on the Mata website, so you guys that are not ProStar schools yet are going to get exposed to a lot of this material. The ProStar schools, of course, will have access to all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, repetition.
Okay, thank you. Master Scott McNeely from Plano, Texas is with us too, and he has several questions. One of them you sort of touched on already a little bit while you were speaking, I believe. But he's asking, one of the great advantages that traditional martial arts has is the belt rank system. What are some of the recommended rank type methods you suggest? And I know you were talking about graduation. That kind of ties right into that.
Yeah, absolutely. ProStar has a belt system. It's continuous. It goes all the way up through black belt. So that part is not lost. You know, the thing is, and Scott, it's great to have you on board. I am a realist. And sometimes that, you know, I don't like to kid myself or kid other people. And frankly, the testing process it's a revenue generator and often a dropout generator as well. So if we're not going to fail people, or we're going to fail so few people that it really is a graduation process, let's just eliminate the stress of testing. Let's eliminate the stress of having to deal with stripes and create a program that continually conveys to the student that they're progressing. Remember, one of the key motivators is progress. I feel like I'm getting better at it. Competence leads to confidence. And traditional martial arts, by design, particularly on the front end, is designed almost to instill a lack of confidence. When all these difficult traditional blocks and balances and forms, all that's very difficult to do. So it's frustrating. ProStar is designed to completely eliminate that. So these students are going to have, and this is the key phrase, gang, instant value. ProStar provides instant value. The students instantly feel like they're learning something of value. They're instantly feeling as though they're doing it right. They're getting it right away, as opposed to having someone doing a traditional downward block and front stance and lunge punch, where you say, you know, you never really blocked this way, but you keep doing this for 2 or 3 years, you'll understand it. And that's insane. So, again, being the realist that I am, that's not saying I don't love kata. You guys know I do. I compete in kata still. It was actually my primary thing. But that's not the world we're living in, at least with mixed martial arts. So I hope that helps, Scott.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. Another question he had was, how much are the successful schools charging for the MMA classes, and what length of time are they enrolled for?
It varies from school to school. Our litmus test for tuition is simply this. What does it cost in your area for a plumber to come out and take a look at your toilet? What's the service call? Around here, it's $85. Imagine 1 month of training at your school, all the effort and work that you put in to train somebody for a month at your school. If you're not charging at least what the plumber is, you got to reevaluate. You have to value what you do a little bit higher than that. So here's the basic premise of what we teach our guys about setting tuition. You can't afford to be in business with someone who can't afford to be in business with you. And that's really important because a lot of us were not raised with a lot of money, so money is a source of confusion and stress for us. How do I know that? Have you ever loaned somebody money and then been afraid to ask for it back when they didn't pay it back? That's part of your programming concerning money. So money is an issue that, you know, we all have to deal with. But, again, you can't afford to be in business with someone who can't afford to be in business with you. And, again, I hope that answers the question.
Yes, I think so. One other one that we have is, how does ProStar manage more advanced students with beginners without expanding or cannibalizing your traditional program schedule?
That's going to be, again, a school-by-school. I mean, if you have two workout areas, you've got a lot of flexibility. Here's my approach to that. First off, ProStar has 3 years, year one, year two, year three. Each one has 6 terms in it. So you'll have your beginning students in year one, your intermediates in year two, and your advanced in year three. Sparring does not begin until year two, by the way. But here's my thing. If I were running a school, I would be charging a tremendous amount of money to take somebody to black belt in Taekwondo. It's really hard to do. It's hard to teach forms. It's hard. The techniques are just far more difficult. Mixed martial arts is a lot easier. So my approach would be, you know, I would do ProStar maybe so I could teach traditional martial arts at a premium. What I don't understand is that people join a martial arts school not to learn Taekwondo, not to learn Kung Fu, not to learn Hapkido. They want to gain some confidence, and they happen to live near you, and they looked around, and something of what you're doing is appealing. But here's what happens in most schools. Here's the analogy. It's as though you want to, let's say you didn't speak English. You wanted to learn to speak English, right? So you go to a school that teaches English, and you say, all right, great, I'm going to enroll in the school because I want to learn English. And they start teaching you Latin. And you say, whoa, I'm trying to learn English. Oh, yeah, but everybody's got to learn Latin first. That's the way we do it. That's the traditional way. And it just creates all kinds of barriers and difficulties that ProStar is designed to completely eradicate. It's the easiest way to run a school possible. Next question, I missed that one.
What type of training attire is suggested in the ProStar MMA?
We're working with a couple of different equipment companies to come up with a really smart uniform. You know, I'm not a big fan of the martial arts uniform because I think it particularly on beginners, on women, it adds pounds. You know, it's just usually not that attractive. So we're trying to find some nice, clean uniforms. But in most cases, it's going to be karate gi because you're going to do some grappling, and it may be a judo gi or some hybrid version. And certainly with all the MMA apparel companies out there, guys are coming up with all kinds of good stuff. One of the things about ProStar is completely flexible. It's a licensing program. We're not a franchise. You're not able to call your school ProStar. We don't want you to call your school ProStar. However, you are. Imagine you're a camera store who sells Nikon. That's what it is. You're a martial arts school who offers ProStar. It can be your primary curriculum. It could just be a master's club or leadership team or black belt club curriculum. You can use the techniques you like. You can just use it for extra help. You can I mean, you have tremendous flexibility with it, as long as you do nothing to damage or diminish the brand. You've got a lot of flexibility on it.
Okay, great. There's another one, and I think you've already answered that as well. The question was, are you saying to get rid of testing? But I think that's before you kind of quantify that you still can have a belt system in MMA.
We have, it could be a review. You can, you know, the eighth week of the term typically is a complete review and preparation for graduation. Some people still do an exam. That's fine. That's their business. We just suggest things. But in class, we would have the people run through a graduation preparation. And then that might be on Wednesday and Thursday night, second class of the eighth week. And then on either Friday night or Saturday morning, they would come in for a graduation where we'd have demos and pizza and all that kind of fun stuff. Very similar to what you're doing already, except we're eliminating the pressure of the exam. And there's a certain percentage of our population that has test anxiety anyway. And you can certainly charge a graduation fee for the belt and everything that goes with it.
Okay, great. What I'd like to do, I'd like to open up the phone line so that the people would be able to ask questions who are on the phone, have been waiting very patiently. So,
if they're still awake.
Yeah, we're still awake. Mr. Graydon.
That had to be Dwight.
Mr. Graydon, you know that I respect you fully, and actually you and I agree almost 100% on everything.
Great.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Great.
What do you say to someone whose opinion is, well, I can just do all this on my own?
Go for it. Have fun. Let me know how you do. I mean, you can. I bet you could. But the key. Actually, there's two parts to this. One, the lesson plans. All laid out for you on video, streaming video. That's you want to do it yourself, it's really hard work. So have fun. Two, the seminars and the training that goes there in terms of the business side, teaching side, and the networking. So there's certainly you can do it if you want to be a lone wolf out there. However, if you feel that odds are working with someone like myself, Joe Brignoli, Jerry Jones, and the other ProStar schools, that we may be able to accelerate your progress and success and make it easier for you, well, that's something you have to weigh out yourself.
Okay, thanks. You'll be seeing a lot more of me next year.
I can't wait.
All right.
As we wrap up here, I want to encourage you to contact Joe Brignoli if you're interested in finding out more about ProStar at joe@mata.com, M-A-T-A, and to visit pro-starpreview.com. And stay in touch with us. And look for the new Mata, and look for my book and all the exciting things that are happening.